Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 22 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I am Billy, and with me as always is my co-host Dave.
Hey guys.
And we are going to talk about new comics that are coming out the week of Wednesday, June 4th, 2014. And there are a few comics that have caught my eye. What about you, Dave?
There are a couple.
Yeah, we've got Earth 2, new issue of Earth 2, which we both read.
Yeah. That looks pretty good.
And that their new line of variants is these bombshell variants, which they're also doing a line of statues of. There's going to be a rather cool-looking Hawk Girl variant cover in this bombshell line.
Yeah, the bombshell covers are cool. Sometimes they're, like, I don't know, like with the Supergirl and Stargirl, it feels a little inappropriate. You know, like, you know, bombshell covers are supposed to, you know, sexualize the females, like that's the idea behind them.
Right.
And then when you have someone who's obviously 16 years old, or 17, you know, somewhere, you know, under the age of 18, it's kind of creepy, especially when you know that most of the people who are buying this are, you know, adults.
That's true. Yeah. The bombshell Stargirl statue is on the creepy side. And I know that you're a big Starman collector, and you buy every Starman and Stargirl action figure that comes out. Are you going to be buying the Stargirl bombshell?
I'm torn about it.
It's like the completionist in you must want it, but at the same time, you're like, I don't know how my fiance would feel about that in our house.
And at the same time, I'm like, that's like Geoff Johns' little sister. Like,
right.
That's who that character is based on. And then it was based on, like, a 16-year-old girl. You know, it just kind of, it just ups the creep factor.
That's like two strikes against buying it.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you don't buy it, your collection will never be complete.
I know.
And I don't know if you saw it, Kevin Smith is writing Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet, and it looks cool.
Yeah, I actually read a couple of his Batman. I started reading some of his Batman comics, the Cacophony.
Right.
I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah, the widening gyre, I ended up not liking. It had more to do with the artist's drawing of pubes on the Joker's face as a beard. It just creeped me out so much.
Walt Flanagan doesn't do it for you, huh?
Yeah. And I don't even know if Walt Flanagan is like a real person or not, but yeah, he did not do it for me. And also coming out from DC, Tiny Titans Return to the Treehouse. Balthazar and Franco are bringing the Tiny Titans back to the DC universe.
Yes, this is true. And another thing that is coming out from DC that I'm going to recommend is Justice League 3000.
Okay, so I have not read Justice League 3000 at all, and you were like bouncing back and forth on the fence on it. So you're a fan of the series now.
Yeah, after I finished the Justice League reread into Forever Evil, mm-hmm. I decided to read some of this Justice League 3000, see if it, what it did with the Justice League line. Did it, you know, take place with it completely separate? It's not, they're Justice League characters, not tied to any of the Justice League books. Set in the future, and the characters are all kind of not themselves in some way. And you don't know if they're clones or how they're made.
Mm.
But I have to say, I really like it, and I'm kind of surprised because I went in thinking that I wasn't going to be a big fan.
Right.
And a lot of people crapped on this, much like they crapped on
Future's End.
And I've been enjoying it. I mean, it's not your regular Justice League book because the characters look like the characters but are completely different. So if it was an Elseworlds, I would think of it that way, you know, but it's set in the future. And I'd say Howard Porter has some of the greatest artwork of his career.
Wow, that's great.
And
the cover of the new issue 7, looks really cool.
Yeah, the insides are really great. And Howard Porter, I liked when he was doing the JLA
right.
With Grant Morrison. at the beginning of the run, and then he got so tight and so, like, you know, it just stiff. His characters got stiff, and they lost some of their fun and movement. And I think that's where his at that time, that was where his strengths were laying. And I think he was online reading comments about how sucky he was, like it affected his art. I think I heard that somewhere.
Well, it looks like it affected it for the better, because I saw his character design work for this series, and I was like, wow, this is Howard Porter. This looks amazing.
Yeah, so his story gets even more interesting, because about the time of Infinite Crisis, him and Judd Winnick started doing that Shazam series where he was digitally painting it all.
Right.
And that, I thought, also looked really cool. And in the middle of that, he stopped. It wasn't him anymore. Huh. And it was like, what happened to Howard Porter? Well, apparently he broke his arm so much. I remember listening to a word balloon that he couldn't use that arm anymore.
Wow.
And he was like driving a school bus, and like basically he wasn't working in comics.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. And now he's back.
And so he trained himself, and this is all from, you know, memory from a word balloon podcast, right. But he trained himself with his, you know, if he was a righty, he trained himself as a lefty to draw again.
That's insane. So
when he got back into comics, you know, a couple of years later, right. Drawing, you know, it looked a little sloppy, and I wasn't that big of a fan, even though, like, I thought that story was amazing, like, where he retrained himself that way. But right now, like, how he's drawing, and if, you know, if that's still, you know, with that hand that he retaught himself on, or if it's he worked his other hand back into shape or whatever, it's amazing, and that story, I think, is just pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. Wow, that I did not know that about Howard Porter at all. That's an amazing story. That's like something out of a movie.
Yeah, like, you know, a left hand for Howard Porter. That sounds a little gross.
Yeah, a little bit. We're going to have to work on that title. So over at Marvel, we've got the third issue of Original Sin coming out. And have you read the first two issues yet?
I read issue zero. Okay. I didn't get to number one.
I skipped issue zero. I like thumbed through it in the store, and I was like, "This looks like a trick to just rob me of $4."
Yeah, you know what? It was good for me because, like, I know the Watcher, but I don't know the Watcher in depth.
Right.
And having the Sam version of Nova there as the reader learning about the Watcher, I thought it was, you know, a really good read, and it got me caught up of who the Watcher is, and it does set up what I know will happen in, you know, Original Sin number one.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I definitely recommend, you know, reading the entire thing. And then looking at it, this looks like it's going to be a light week for me, because the other books that are coming out, things like Black Widow, I'm not caught up on. We've got the second issue of the new Ultimate Spider-Man series. And I hear Miles Morales might be coming to, like, the Marvel 616 universe.
Yeah, that's a rumor, like, every so often. Like,
yeah, it has been a rumor for, like, the past year. it just seems to pop up every other month.
Yeah, I think it's been a rumor since he started in the Ultimate Comics.
Yeah, I know there was a swerve with, like, Mighty Avengers when that series came out, because they had a character who they silhouetted in all the previews, and people thought it was Miles Morales, and ended up not being him.
Well, I know that all the latest Ultimate relaunch has not done very good.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, down the line, if they ever stop the Ultimate line of books,
right?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Miles somehow the mainstream Marvel universe.
Yeah, as the lone survivor.
The 616, yeah, I mean, it might screw his character up a little bit, you know. I mean,
right.
it really kind of made Power Girl a bit wonky for about 20 years.
Yeah, I remember when they tried bringing the Rob Liefeld-created Bucky into the Marvel universe proper, and she never quite fit anywhere, because she was just this girl who was from another dimension. And...
Right. What did they call her? What was her name?
I don't remember.
Because they ended up not calling her Bucky in the long... It was like, wasn't she like Nomad or...
Yeah,
or something.
she took the Nomad identity after Winter Soldier killed Jack Monroe, the original Nomad. So
right.
That name was just kind of hanging out.
She's like, I'll grab that.
Yeah, I just feel it's a character that nothing really went anywhere with. Now, Miles Morales, on the other hand, is a much better character than the Bucky from the Heroes Reborn universe.
Sure.
So
he
I could definitely see him
power.
Working in the Marvel universe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he has
interacted with...
That'll come with him. Like, I don't know if anyone, you know, had the...
Yeah.
Like, Rob Liefeld, Bucky in the Marvel Universe. Like, someone might have been like, hey, that's neat.
Finally!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I'm sure there was one or two people who were like, finally, Rob Liefeld's Bucky is getting his due, her due.
And one of those people was... Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, definitely. So what comics did you read this week besides catching up on Justice League 3000?
Well, I read Original Sin Zero.
All right.
I read Ms. Marvel.
I forgot to read Ms. Marvel this week.
Oh, you did? It was great.
I was just reading a bunch of books today, actually, in anticipation of this podcast. And I did not, I only read Image books. I didn't even think to like look at what came out from Marvel and DC this week. I really got, all right, next week I'll have Ms. Marvel read.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say about Ms. Marvel. I mean, just another
great every month.
Yeah.
Did you happen to read Cal, the new Kyle Higgins, Rod Rice series?
Well, you know what? I was searching, I was like, there's an Image book that I know I want to read this week.
Right.
And I was, you know, I was going to read it before we podcasted today. And this morning I'm like thumbing through Image's stuff and I'm like, I don't see, there was a number one and that was it.
Yeah. It was good. I recommend it. The Rod's artwork is very like Bill Sienkiewicz-ish. Yeah. It's really cool. It takes place, it doesn't take place in the present day. It takes place in, I think, the 1960s. And Cal is basically the superpowered police force of Chicago, and they even operate under like a public, you know, workers union. It plays out like a police procedural, but not in the same way that Powers did, because Powers was more of a case by case. This seems to be more of a focusing on the individual, you know, superpowered police officers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's the first issue is really good. I'm very intrigued, and I'm gonna pick up the second one.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a read this week because it was frustrating because I was like, I know there's something I really want to read.
Yeah, and I also read Trees Number One, which is the new Warren Ellis series.
Oh, really? How was that?
It was interesting. Like many Warren Ellis comics before it was very weird. Mm-hmm. Basically, the premise is it's set like 10 or so years in the future, and these giant, like, I don't know what it is, spaceships or cylinders, they end up calling them trees, they just like land in the earth and they just stretch out into the heavens. And the premise of the book is 10 years ago, intelligent life landed on Earth, and it does, and the aliens don't even like acknowledge humans existing. Like they're that far beneath them. So it's just these giant structures that end up like oozing toxic waste, and it's about like how people have dealt with it over the past 10 years. It's very interesting, like a future history kind of way. But and like every Warren Ellis comic, you know, it's full of like crazy characters. But the part of me that loves Warren Ellis comics enjoyed it. I'll probably pick up the second issue just to see where it goes.
Gotcha.
I have a feeling that this is going to be a book, though, that does play out better in trades.
I think Warren Ellis reads better in trade no matter what.
Yeah, like Transmet I read in trades. I'm trying to think. Like Planetary I thought like was great as single issues, but after the first few issues when it stopped genre hopping, and it became like a cohesive storyline, I thought it played out much better in trades, but also because like each issue would come out like every 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I've read every single Warren Ellis thing in a trade because he just reads better that way. I mean, I feel the same way about Brian K. Vaughan.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think I agree with you. I definitely enjoyed Why the Last Man before I caught up to the series. And then
Yeah.
like enjoyed it better the second time I read through it.
And I stopped reading Ex Machina in singles same way, 'cause I mean I was super psyched for that series, and Tony Harris is an artist I love, and
Right.
Mark Vaughan is, I love his writing, and I love the first issue, but I feel like sometimes where you have such like in-depth stories where you have to remember everything for a month, that it's hard to do that, and that trades are great for that. And when you talk about like Marvel and DC, and you could read month to month, and it's a lighter story, it's easier to do that. And so, a lot of times when people are like, "Oh, you got to buy the single issues because, to support the comic," but I mean, I don't know if like the stories being told that way is necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Or, I don't know if a good thing or it's if it serves us
If it works.
best, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because there are a lot of books where I end up like Fables is something that I love the series so much, but I only read it in trades because it reads like an individual book.
Right.
Like you wouldn't read Harry Potter one chapter at a time every month.
Yeah. I mean, you might if
Yeah,
you are
just
very busy, but
it'd be a
it's
less
probably
enjoyable
not.
experience.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then I also picked up the Chew Revival crossover, which was very cool. It was a flip book, which I didn't know it was going to be. One half is done by the Chew creative team, the other half is done by the Revival creative team. And the funny thing is, similar to the Batman Spawn crossovers from the mid-90s, each one is set as the first time these characters are meeting. And it even gets referenced in a breaking of the fourth wall situation on the Chew creators side of it, where they're like, oh, if you want to see the first time these characters interacted with each other, flip the book over. Just kidding. The Revival creators think that's the first time that they met. But really,
Oh,
this is the
that's
first
funny.
time they met. Yeah, so they have some fun with each other, especially they have some fun making fun of each other's characters. So,
Oh,
and as a reader of neither Chew nor Revival, I found
that's cool.
it easily understandable. There wasn't anything where I was like, I don't get what's going on here. Like as long as you accept the premise of both books, then you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for things I read. I also picked up Southern Bastards number one, the Jason Aaron Image comic, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet. It looks pretty gritty.
Oh, very cool. I also read the next part of New Invaders.
Oh, how was it?
It was really good. It looks like James Robinson's really doing a looking to make Jim Hammond the Torch like a substantial character in the Marvel Universe. And his character is probably one of the most interesting in the book, as well as the original Vision. There
Oh,
he's
cool.
planting seeds with him. I don't want to spoil anything, but so I'll just say there's some seeds planted with his story that are gonna come up later on that should be pretty crazy for the Marvel Universe, if not just in the Invaders book.
Yeah, that's a book that once it starts appearing in the Marvel Digital Unlimited app, I plan on catching up on that.
And I had purchased the newest issue of Fantastic Four, but I did not get to that. And I was also thinking, man, James Robinson might be really getting screwed by the higher ups, even at Marvel.
Yeah, he cannot catch a break. First, the whole Earth 2 thing over at DC, pretty much ending his ties with DC. And now, this whole like Marvel might stop publishing the Fantastic Four because of a movie rights issue with Fox.
Right. I'm like, this guy, man, he can't catch a break at all. And his Fantastic Four is really great. I mean, I don't think it's selling any better than any other Fantastic Four book has sold, and I think that's kind of part of the reason why they could say, well, let's cut it.
Yeah, like I know Marvel Studios wants the rights back from Sony for Spider-Man and also from Fox for X-Men and Fantastic Four. And this is a move that they couldn't do with the X-Men. Like, you can't screw around with Fox by saying, "All right, we're going to cancel all the X-Men books," because then you're pretty much canceling like a big chunk of your revenue stream if you're Marvel Comics.
Right. And the X-Men movies make so much money that I'm sure whatever percentage they get from those movies is substantially more than what they get from the Fantastic Four movies that have been out.
Yeah, and that's another thing I don't understand, because I'm wondering like who's going to see the Fantastic Four movies? They haven't done terribly well. So if you cancel the comics, I feel like a hardcore comic fan is still going to go see the movie. And if you but no one from the general public would know if Fantastic Four wasn't being published now or not.
Right. But you know, one of the other things I thought was like, man, I wonder if this is a weird move by Marvel that's like, you know what, we're not going to publish this book because we want the rights back from Fox. And you know, Fox has not made a great Fantastic Four movie at all. And the two movies they made, it were not great movies.
Yeah, I
And I
never saw
wonder.
the second one, and I love the
Yeah.
Silver Surfer.
And I wonder if the you know, some Marvel fans will be like, hey, you know what? I don't want another Fox Fantastic Four movie. They don't know what to do with the Fantastic Four, and I want my Fantastic Four comic back. I'm not gonna go see this movie.
Maybe. I feel like a lot of Marvel fans are saying that already when, the producers of the Fantastic Four movie are saying, "Oh, we're not going to have costumes in this movie."
Oh, you know, I was kind of out when they were like, this Fantastic Four movie is going to be grounded.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Fantastic in the name.
what is the opposite of fantastic? Grounded.
The Grounded Four.
Yeah,
They are people who get their powers from launching into a rocket ship. Their whole origin is the opposite of grounded.
I mean, I think the Fantastic Four do present a really tough sell in a live action universe. Like, how do you, because they're so fantastic, and you know, I think if you did a Fantastic Four movie, I would love to see it, you know, be fantastic. I'd love to see like weird effects that don't look realistic, like almost like Big Fish.
Yeah.
You know, like embrace it, and I think that's what will sell it. And I think that's what Marvel does with their movies. You know, they say, look, this is what this is. You know, like, you know, a raccoon with a machine gun is
I
hilarious. Let's
cannot
play
wait
that
for that
up.
movie. I really cannot wait for that movie.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's where all of these have gone wrong. Like, you know, all of the Fantastic Four movies have gone wrong and sound like they're going to go wrong because a dark Fantastic Four that's grounded isn't a Fantastic Four movie, I want to say.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. It's amazing because like Fox's X-Men movies are batting at least 500. Like the good ones have been really good. This current one has been great. Have you seen the new X-Men movie yet?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to my parents on Long Island this weekend. So I am trying to me and my dad are trying to find a time to get to the movie theater this weekend.
Nice, nice. Yeah, it's great. I'm sure your fiance might be interested in it too, because it's, as my wife puts it, full of hotties. They basically cast like my wife's dream team of actors for this movie, between pretty much yeah, let's see. We got Nicholas Holt, we've got Hugh Jackman, what's his name? James McAvoy, like Mike, you could even add Michael Fassbender to the list now. Like all they do are they're casting hunks in this movie.
Sarah is not in the least interested in X-Men.
I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Did she not see who's starring in it? That might change her mind.
I was like, Hugh Jackman, you love stage and screen.
Oh, that's true. He's a great Broadway actor.
Yeah, and she was like, he's not singing and dancing.
As She's like, do I have to invest in 7 movies this time? That might not make much sense.
Yeah.
He's like, I already did that. I don't know if I want to do it again.
Well, actually, she did, and I summarized Captain America 1, which turned out to be
the best way to do it.
Yeah. So, Fantastic Four. If Marvel stops making that comic, that'll be a bummer. But if you think about it, when I was going to work this morning, mm-hmm. I was thinking about it more and about what they're doing with Original Sin. They're killing off the Watcher, and the Watcher first appeared in Fantastic Four.
Yeah, yeah. I just hope this doesn't affect Dan Slott's Silver Surfer comic, because that comic has quickly become my favorite Marvel comic.
Yeah, that would really be a bummer. And I see why Marvel would want to stop too, because you know they're making the Fantastic Four books, and they're creating more characters and more storylines and more things that you know Fox could mine if they wanted to.
Right.
And, if they stop that, you know, there's only a limited amount of resources that Fox can pull from.
Yeah.
And you know, if Fox isn't being very successful with this, maybe they'll sell.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I would be bummed if the Fantastic Four go away, but I do. If this rumor is true, I do root for Marvel in this, and that I hope they get the Fantastic Four back.
Yeah, me too. And I'm guessing that if the Fantastic Four comic does go away, it won't be away very long.
Yeah, yeah. At some point, they'll be like, well, they're not going to sell it back to us, so might as well do it.
Right. Or if they do sell it back to them, they'll be published immediately.
Right, right.
Yeah. I just feel bad for James Robinson. Dude can't catch a break. Like, might as well just go to stick at Image and just, you know, sell it, like, do creator-owned stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait for his Airboy comic to come out. That looks good.
That should be out soon, right?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be sometime this summer.
All right, awesome. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's going to bring it to the end of this episode, everybody. So, Dave, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Billy.
And I will see you next week. And listeners, you'll hear from us again next week when we talk about new comics that are going to be coming out on Wednesday, June 13th. Or, nope, I'm bad at math. Wednesday, June 11th. It'll be Friday the 13th. Ooh, pick your comics up before then. That's all I got.
Good night.
Good night. Good night and good luck. Stop broadcasting.